107 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings with Dalton Orwig and Kelly Finley. Sean Sullivan will be back later this week. And busy week for FM Talk 106.5. We're hitting the road a bunch in this first week of December. It all starts tonight, sports night here on FM Talk 106.5 with me and Corey LeBounty. We're going to be live at Valentino's Italian Cuisine. It's a new Italian restaurant opened on Azalea Road right there at the Michael Boulevard intersection across from the Chevron. Oh, man, they've got some great Italian food there, a huge menu, huge portions, a daily lunch buffet with pizza and salad, just outstanding place. And we'll be up there tonight in the FM Talk 106.5 mobile command unit. Show starts at 6. We're going to get there in the 5 o'clock hour, early in the 5 o'clock hour, and then hang a little afterwards. So come say hi, talk a little football with us there. And then Wednesday, we're back on the battleship, Midday Mobile, live from the fantail of the USS Alabama. That'll be from 12 to 1, and then the Scuttlebutt Network boys join us afterwards with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. They'll air from 1 to 2. That's on this Wednesday. Then Thursday night, something that we do every single year with Fairhope Brewing Company, they have their charity bartending series, and our night falls on Thursday night this year. We're putting our charity tips towards Wilmer Hall Children's Home. We do it every year, and would love to see you out there Thursday night. Let us be your bartender for a night. We'll do our best pouring those beers, and you know, the good thing is the beer is great. The pour with us isn't always great, but I think we've gotten the hang of it over the last 3 years or so.
Yeah, I learned how to do it the first year, and I think it's...
Some of us are slow learners, Kelly.
No, you had a down pat because you are you're a beer lover. See, for me, because I don't drink it, I wanted to make sure I was respecting it.
Yeah.
So knowing how to politely pour.
Not all great athletes make great coaches. I'm a great drinker. Maybe just not the best bartender.
I got you. But everybody was smiling. And we remember we had Santa who was at the bar. Remember?
I do remember Santa. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he's there again this
year. I know.
Maybe that's not the best place for me to take my daughter to get her first picture with Santa.
Not there.
Not there.
Because Mrs. Claus was had his attention.
But it's always a good night. Even after we're done, they always have something going on, whether it's trivia or music. So join us out there Thursday night at the Fairhope Brewing Company. And then on Friday, Midday Mobile on the road again. We'll be at your CBD store of West Mobile from noon to 2 p.m. on Friday. So I got to gas up the van today and have it ready to roll because we're going to be on the road a lot this week. Speaking of Santa Claus, I did want to... We kind of talked about this some on Friday, but I wanted to open up the text line and call in if you'd like, 251-343-0106, because with my daughter, she's about to be 10 months old, just had our first Thanksgiving with her. This will be her first Christmas. So what the wife wanted to do this year, we've always been the artificial tree household. You know, we've got the one, bring it out of the attic every single year, put the lights on it, the ornaments. This year we're trying to do a real Christmas tree. And I know there's a bunch of great places to get real Christmas trees, but I need some suggestions on where do you think I should go to get my real Christmas tree this year? Because it's happening. The wife's already said we're getting a real tree. It's just I've got to figure out where to get it now.
I've been noticing a lot of posts on social media of people asking the same question and the community sharing why they go to certain tree lots, you know, the background of that. I know each year we go to the Optimist Club. They have a tree lot there right near a Pullman's, so I believe that's Virginia Street, and these young men work so hard. They get your tree for you, and they'll shape it up for you and put it in the stand and all that good stuff. So wherever you go, it's always fun to be able to smell. I mean, just smell the fresh trees if you're going to go fresh, and if you're going artificial, get the most beautiful, bountiful, full tree. Whichever way, it's your family. It's your tradition, and I'm big on that. I don't care what others say. You have to do what's best for your situation.
Yeah, we were measuring. We had the tape measure out, measuring the ceilings this weekend. So we're in full go mode for the real Christmas tree. And also, you said Santa. We saw him last year at Fairhope Brewing Company. I'm also trying to figure out. I'm thinking right now that Bellengrath Gardens is in the lead. Their Christmas lights show. I'm thinking we'll probably go there for the first Santa Christmas picture. But why stop at one? Why not go to multiple Santa? So also on the text line or phone line, let me know a good place to take the 10-month-old to go get her first picture with Santa.
And I do have a question for you, because do you think that you're going to be that family where you're waiting for the perfect picture with Santa? Are you going to take the picture as is and make that the card?
Well, I think we're probably going to go to more than one Santa, so we'll pick between the two for the Christmas card. But if we've got like a Billy Bob Thornton bad Santa situation, we probably won't use that one. I'm looking for, you know, there is only one Santa, but I need him to be at the top of his game. I don't see how he gets to all these places.
Santa's on the go. Well, and I ask that question because think about this. As parents, all year, you tell your child, don't talk to strangers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't go to a stranger. Now you're plopping them on a stranger's lap and saying, smile. And we wonder why they react the way they do.
Santa is no stranger.
Here's some hours for you, Dalton. If you want to see Santa at Bellingrath, 5:30 to 9 p.m. now until December 23rd. Santa's in the Magnolia Cafe. That's a smart Santa.
Mm-hmm.
The cafe is open for lunch, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and then from 4 to 8 p.m. nightly. But you can go ahead and take your pictures. Tickets are $16 for adults, $8 for children ages 5 to 12, and children ages 4 and younger get in free. This is the Magic Christmas in Lights, which runs through December the 31st.
All right, get ready, Santa. She's a wild one. So I hope he's ready, because he hadn't seen a storm like this. And we can also talk about the Iron Bowl, 48-45 win for Auburn over the weekend. But City Council today, some of the members of the City Council holding a meeting. It starts at 9 this morning in Government Plaza. And what they're doing is listening to a couple proposals, asking questions about the future of Hank Aaron Stadium. You know, the Bay Bears just wrapped up their final season here in Mobile. They're now the Rocket City Trash Pandas up there in Madison, outside of Huntsville. So we lost our AA baseball team that's been here for so long. And the question inevitably was going to become, what happens with that big baseball stadium we have out there at McGowan Park? And there's been a couple proposals here over the last couple of months with suggestions on what they might want to do with that park. One of these groups, the Mobile, the Mobile Sports and Entertainment Group, a few weeks ago they came to the council with a proposal. Some of those members of the Mobile Sports and Entertainment Group, including, were in the Bay Bears front office before they left. Their plan is to reopen Hank Aaron Stadium for high school tournaments, also have some music concerts out there, and more events out there that don't include minor league ball of any sort. And then just 2 weeks ago on Midday Mobile, Sean interviewed Tim Bennett, who has been co-owner of minor league baseball teams in the past, and he really specializes in moving teams to new areas. And his idea is to move an Atlantic League team into Mobile, into Hank Aaron Stadium. Now, the Atlantic League, they aren't like the AA teams, AAA teams, single A teams that are affiliated with specific Major League Baseball franchises. Mm-hmm. It's 8 Atlantic League teams. They've got 2 divisions of 4. Right now, 7 of those teams have cities that they call home. There's one of those Atlantic League teams that's currently a traveling team. And if Tim Bennett's group ends up winning this contract, he says he would bring an Atlantic League team to Mobile to call it home. And so we would have, once again, minor league baseball here in Mobile. But today at 9 o'clock, they're meeting at Mobile City Council in Government Plaza, and they're going to talk about these different ideas. Both said that they would keep the Night of Lights. You know, we have the Thriller Night of Lights and the Christmas Light Show, which is going on right now. Both have already said that they would keep that going. But what about you? What do you think they should do with Hank Aaron Stadium? If they don't fill it with something,
right?
They've only got 2 years, and the stadium is ran by the city, but the land underneath the stadium owned by a private company.
Aha.
And according to this contract that was signed years and years ago, if they don't do anything with the stadium that includes a baseball team playing, then the stadium could be demolished.
Oh, no.
So,
I bet you many people don't know that fine print, because it's easy to think what you would or wouldn't do, but if you don't understand the details, the details of this contract, it really impacts your answer. Because I would say, I would turn this into a track. Because of the great weather we have here and all the traveling teams that go to track invitationals, what's happening is more people are going across the bay because they have the facilities there. But if we could host, national meets, that's a lot of money involved in that. When you think about all the athletes that come, all of the parents that come, the teams that come, and then it's a multi-day. So that's big. And if you look at how other cities are doing it, they're winning big, because track is, it's pretty you know, it's pretty popular.
That's really interesting. I haven't heard that idea yet, and it would be good to bring those events in to Mobile instead of traveling elsewhere.
Yes.
What do you think? Do you think these track meets would be a good idea to have there? Or do you think baseball can work in Mobile? We saw what happened at the end of the Mobile Bay Bears run where, you know, they were having a really hard time filling up the stadium. Should we even think about putting another minor league team in? Give us a call or text 251-343-0106. And before we go to the break, hit the phone lines here and talk with David in Mobile. Got a answer on the Christmas trees question I asked. Hey, David.
Yes, first of all, Kelly, you know it would be a great place to hold that track and field meet you were talking about?
Where's that?
The brand spanking new track and field facility at South Alabama.
Very nice. Very nice. Do all people have access to that or just the collegiate level?
Well, I'm sure I personally know the track and field coach. I'll have to reach out to him and see what's still going on there. But real quickly, on the Christmas tree, Dalton, if you can't find a good one in a friend's property in Clark County, because you need a Clark County Christmas tree.
That's a good point.
You should go to the Fish River Christmas Tree Farm and get one. And it is your solemn duty as the father to ensure that your daughter gets an embarrassing picture with Santa and that you lord it over her for the next decade.
Oh man.
Wow.
Two things I didn't think about. My home county, Clark County, I should get a tree there. And everyone's got that embarrassing childhood photo with Santa.
And if David is right on the money, like he is a lot of the times, so that we have that track opportunity at USA, just like basketball courts, you can have more than one. That means that more than one opportunity is happening at the same time. So I'm all about living the love.
Amen. Give us your suggestions, 251-343-0106. We're coming right back. Thank you, Kane. 823 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings with Dalton Orwig and Kelly Finley. Sean Sullivan will be back later this week. Taking your suggestions right now, I've got a 10-month-old, just had her first Thanksgiving, coming up on her first Christmas. I'm taking suggestions. Where should I get our first real Christmas tree? And also, where should we get the Santa picture done? And, you know, it will be the Christmas card.
Because you didn't even talk about, like, Santa breakfast or anything. You're just talking picture.
Picture. I mean, I'm all about breakfast.
Hey, don't forget Mardi Gras Park. There's a beautiful setup. The Christmas tree is there, and it's like a candy cane village. And there's some great photo opportunities there, right across the street from the History Museum of Mobile on Royal Street.
Mm-hmm.
Royal Street in Government. Beautiful.
Okay. It's on the list.
Yep, put it on there.
Mike says, and I like where Mike's going here, because I can make the wife and kids stand in line. He says, Bass Pro Shops has always had a very realistic Santa. Well, that's because he is real, Mike. And an awesome Christmassy setup there. You just have to go at the right time so you're not standing in line for half an hour or more. And that's part of it, too. Some of these places are so busy with the kids waiting in line to get on Santa's lap that you end up waiting 30 minutes, an hour and a half. I know the pet stores that have where people get their pets pictures
that
taken
was,
with Santa.
That was you a few years ago, right?
We actually never did the pet Santa picture, but those lines take forever.
And listen, I say that with a smile because that's fun. That's a fun time. Some people look at their pets as like their children or practice before children, and however you show the love, I think it's so cute because it brings out such a cool side of everyone. Interesting. But you know what you could do? Could be the father of the neighborhood. You could, a bunch of parents chip in, get your own Santa, have your own setup in your own neighborhood, and your line is based on your needs.
Yeah, a BYOS, bring your own Santa.
My man, that's
what
I'm talking about.
Have your own line. And we're also talking about at Government Plaza this morning, 9 a.m., a couple competing groups trying to decide what we will do with Hank Aaron Stadium now that the Mobile Bay Bears have moved on. They are no longer the Mobile Bay Bears. They're now the Rocket City Trash Pandas. And a couple different groups with ideas. One, the Mobile Sports and Entertainment Group, which has some members that were in the Bay Bears front office. They're talking about keeping it for high school tournaments and concerts and fun things like that that they could make work in that venue. The other group is talking about bringing in another minor league team, from the Atlantic League. They've got eight teams in this league. They're kind kind of a testing ground for Mobile or for Major League Baseball. They try out all the new rules to see how they'll work. Like they have a pitch time clock and they have a clock between innings to really try to speed the game up. Mm-hmm. And one of those Atlantic League teams currently doesn't have a home. They're a traveling team.
Uh-huh.
And he's talking about bringing them into Mobile. So what do you think should we do with Hank Aaron Stadium? Because if they don't fill it with a baseball team or something of the like within 2 years, then the private owner of that land will be allowed to demolish it and sell it off or do with it as they please. One unnamed texter here, I like it, it's short and sweet and to the point, kind of a pros and cons list here. He says, baseball boring, watching demolition cool.
Mm.
So if they did demolish Hank Aaron Stadium, how many people would turn out for that? That would be...
That's true.
And he also had, and the city doesn't have a drain on revenue anymore, which is also a part of it. Got to think about how much we're spending on that stadium.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts, and hopefully all that are involved are transparent with that information, so it will be a win-win whichever way this deal goes.
Also this morning, we've been talking about the big Iron Bowl on Saturday with Auburn winning for the second time in 3 years. Just a crazy game. 48-45 win for the Tigers. Now, the over-under on the game going in was 50.5 points, meaning odds makers expected there to be about 50 or 51 points scored total, and Auburn almost crossed that on their own. So all kinds of offense and some two interception returns from Auburn. Alabama's Jalen Waddle was all over the field. He scored four touchdowns. But there was some controversy at the end of the game. Gus Malzahn kind of tricked Alabama, put the punter and the quarterback out there at the same time, caused some confusion on the Alabama sidelines, and they ended up taking a penalty, which gave Auburn a first down, and they were able to kneel and run the timeout on the clock and take the win with them. Alabama's first two-loss regular season since 2010. And we'll take your calls on that, too. What'd you think of the game? Let's go to John in Mobile. Hey, John. I'm sorry. Wrong button there. John, you there? Hey, John. Looks like we've lost John. Philip, if you want to check in there and see if we can get a hold of John. But some Bama fans after the fact, and this isn't specifically Alabama fans. It happens to all teams that lose. But blaming the referees. There were a few calls that Bama fans said shouldn't have gone the way that they did go. And also, with Auburn fans rushing the field after the game, we saw the hedge jumpers.
Oh, my goodness.
Which, remember, we do the Alabamian of the Year at the end of every year, and we're getting ready to do that again here for this year. But 2 years ago, the winner of Alabamian of the Year were the Auburn hedge jumpers, and the scene that they made after their win against Alabama, climbing through those hedges and getting stuck, and the same thing happened again on Saturday night. And Bama fans online pretty salty about that. They said, how can you rush the field? You're supposed to be a top program. You're only supposed to rush the field when you have huge major upsets. Bama fans kind of upset that Auburn fans were taking the field.
Yeah, but it's kind of like a backwards nod of respect, because they know what it means to be able to even come close to what people see as a dynasty, you know, in the reality of the situation. And it's interesting, because no matter how you look at football, or even if you don't watch football, just looking at the timeline on Facebook or Instagram and Twitter, and how many armchair quarterbacks have come out of, you know, the woodwork and the woulda, coulda, shouldas, and how they would have done this. But I think it's so important to remember. And listen, I love my sports, but it's important. These are young men. These are young men. And so no one needs death threats aimed at them because they didn't score the way you thought they should have, or the refs didn't do what you thought. It's just keep it into perspective.
Yeah.
But you've got to tip your hat to the winner of the game.
And Paul Feinbaum after the game, and we'll hear more about this afternoon starting at 2 p.m. right here on FM Talk 106.5. He was actually saying this, and he's said this a few times before and has been wrong, but this might be the end of the road for Nick Saban, that maybe the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide just doesn't have it anymore.
What?
I know he's going to have to answer to some angry callers later this afternoon. We've got a happy caller on the line right now, I'm sure. Dr. Mike, big Auburn fan, we'll get to you after the break. Listen to FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. What should happen with Hank Aaron Stadium? What'd you think about the Iron Bowl on Saturday night? And where should I get my real live Christmas tree this year? You're listening to Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, 36. 6 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Coming to the phone lines in just a minute. This segment brought to you by McConnell Automotive. Great place to get a new or pre-owned vehicle, and they've always got fantastic deals, especially, you know, we're in a new month here for December, so you want to drive by, give them a call, check out the new deals they have there on the lot, but why not make it easy on yourself first before you head over to McConnell and go to McConnellAutomotive.com. They've got their entire inventory there, new and pre-owned vehicles, and a great place to check out the vehicles you might be interested in purchasing. They've got great 360-degree views of the exterior of the vehicles, the interior of the vehicles. They've got a list of every little accessory that they've got with their great Buick and GMC cars, and also they'll buy your vehicle from you, and it doesn't even have to leave your driveway. Just call them up, give them your VIN number, and they'll make it happen just like that. McConnell Automotive, some of the best deals in automotives, McConnellAutomotive.com. And then after you hit the website, go see them in person at McConnell Automotive, where you'll find them on Dauphin Street just east of I-65. 837 here, FM Talk 106.5, and go to the phone lines real quick. We were talking the Iron Bowl there at the end of that last segment. Just a wild game on Saturday night. Auburn ended up being victorious, 48-45. And a guy that I know is very happy with the ending of that game, Dr. Mike. How you doing this morning?
Hey, man, War Eagle, that was an awesome game.
It really was. Did you, well, I know the answer to this. Did you expect that many points to be scored on Saturday?
No, I did not. You know, I felt like Auburn, you know, definitely could win, and of course, I always feel like they're going to win. But it was just emotionally draining, to say the least.
Yeah.
Especially when we pick off a pass, pick six, and then they turn around and run a kickoff back. I mean, that's just it was tough. But you know, hats off to Bama's receivers. I mean, they are. TV doesn't do justice. You know, when you see them live and in person just blow past people, they are really, really fast. So, but it was a great win for Auburn.
Dr. Mike, I had a question for you. Do you have any kind of traditions that you get into before you watch the game to help nudge your team toward a victory? Any type of superstitions?
I don't really have any superstitions. We, you know, just... We just get really nervous and, you know, have a lot of adult beverages.
That's fair. That's fair. Now,
were you at the game Saturday?
I was.
How crazy was the crowd?
It was deafening. I mean, it was, you know, the whole game. I mean, it didn't, you know, there was never, you know, it was silenced every time Alabama scored, obviously. But, you know, they kind of answered the bell. But, you know, it was an amazing win and a really good win for Auburn. And you know, I think that this rivalry has been, you know, the last 30 years, it's been, you know, nip and tuck each time.
Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts on Gus Malzahn? I know a lot of Auburn fans not happy with him some parts of this year, just like seems like every year in the past. But a big win on Saturday. You cool with him being the coach for the upcoming seasons? Great.
Yeah, I'm in the minority. I've always been on the Gus bus, and you know, I think he has a good record against you know, Saban, and I think, you know, Bo Nix is going to continue to get better and better. I think the future is really bright at Auburn. So you know, you got Tua, Burrow, and Jake Fromm leaving. So I feel pretty good about Auburn next year.
All right, good to hear from you, Dr. Mike.
Take care, Dalton. Y'all have a good one.
All right, and staying on the phone lines here, let's go to John in Mobile. Hey, John.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Okay, I'm not getting any of my Auburn friends anything for Christmas because they gave them 14 points. That's all they're going to get.
Oh, man. What'd you think of the game Saturday?
Well, I think it proved one of my life's truths that the toughest thing about beating Auburn in Auburn is you got to beat Auburn and you got to beat the officials too.
I heard a lot of that from Bama fans.
At the end of the game, that was just Gus out thinking, you know, putting the kicker at wide receiver. That's just out thinking the other team.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing at the half was just That was a horrible call, because Whitlow's knees were on top of our running back, on top of our defensive guy, with 1 second left on the clock. So he never went down with 1 second. But
yeah, and that's the one gripe where I can see where Alabama fans are coming from, because even if it hadn't gone to review and they did call it down with 1 second, no way they get the field goal team out there to kick that field goal, which ended up being the difference.
You know, when you get a first, now when you get a first down, they take time to move the chains, and then they wind the clocks. Not like it was back in the old days when you get a first down, you can wait till you get the snap off. But you were talking about the Santa Claus.
Yes.
Somebody who has been the jolly old elf, I can tell you this for sure.
Uh-huh.
For a man in that suit, that's as close as you will ever experience to absolute power.
It's
if you do it right, it's a blast.
Mm-hmm.
One of the funniest things that ever happened to me was working at the mall, and I had a guy propose to his girlfriend. He was on one knee, she was on the other, and you know, for just a second there, I thought they were going to seal a deal right there, right in front of the cameras. But anyway,
I hope they weren't hefty.
Say again?
I hope they weren't hefty if you had one on each knee.
No, I've done parties where, yikes.
Santa's spilling the beans.
Oh, good stuff there from our own Santa Claus. Thanks, John, for the call, and thanks for the Santa information. We might have to open the hotline to anyone who's been in that position before.
Wow. That's a whole another phone call.
And what John was referencing there, I'm looking to get my baby, her 10-month-old baby, her first Santa Claus picture of the year. And Dan and Daphne has a suggestion for me here. Hey, Dan.
Hey, I don't know that I got a suggestion.
Okay.
Kelly knows me. We adopted a little girl from Ukraine when she was like 18 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was two for the first Christmas that we had her. And I thought how great it would be if I were the Santa Claus with the picture of her on my knee. So they brought her into the room, and she freaked out. I mean, she was so scared of things like that, she would hide under the table if the blue rabbit or whatever it was came out. So she was screaming and pitching a fit. I mean, they couldn't contain her. So I took the beard off to show her, hey, it's me. Yeah. That did no good whatsoever. So
that's worse.
I did not get the picture of me as Santa with my 2-year-old daughter.
Oh, but you tried. You get an A for effort. That's Dan from Daphne.
Yeah, and that brings in, I didn't think of the fear factor situation.
Right.
You know, what's she going to think seeing Santa for the first time? It could go either way.
Because if you're dressed as any mascot, if you think about it, if mascots aren't supposed to speak, but you're trying to make your daughter feel welcome, you start speaking. Now she's freaked out by all mascots who have voices. So you've got to really think this through. You've got to drop some X's and O's.
I do.
How
I need
you
to make
handle
a,
this.
A plan. And I don't know if it's genetic, but you know, it's legend in my family that I went to Disney World as a small tyke, talking 1 or 2 years old, and I think they had to leave the park because I could not handle the costumes that were walking around.
I don't care for those things either.
I still can barely handle it. That's right. We're also talking this morning at 9 a.m. They're having a meeting at Government Plaza, some of the Mobile City Council members, what to do with Hank Aaron Stadium, a couple different proposals. And so I'm asking you, 251-343-0106, do you think Mobile, will we show out for another baseball team? One of the proposals is bringing in an Atlantic League team, which is kind of like minor league baseball, but not exactly affiliated with a major league team. The other proposal is to keep Hank Aaron Stadium open for high school tournaments, concerts, other things of that nature. And James the Engineer, what are you thinking about what we should do with Hank Aaron Stadium?
Good morning. Should it be Kelly and Dalton or Dalton and Kelly show? I just
Kelly
have
and
a
Dalton.
Hard time
it's,
with that.
It's
man.
Dalton and Kelly. He's at the helm.
There you go.
So what do you think
guys,
of James?
I got a couple of things I want to touch on real quick and all the stuff that you've been talking about. Hank Aaron Stadium, you know, we're down here in the South and we have some pretty hot temperatures during the summertime. It's really rough to me in a way for a lot of teams to come and play baseball. But I do believe in volleyball. We're a city by the water, city by the bay, and I think we should bring in some volleyball tournaments. I mean, you know, it would be a perfect setup, and then maybe some things along the line, anything to do with water, put some pools in there or something, some sort of competition or training. I do want to comment on the Alabama game and Alabama in general. I'm an Alabama fan, so I said the Alabama game. Alabama and Auburn game. Auburn is playing really good. But, you know, I feel that something is in kind of messed up with the mix. I don't think our team was really unified like they should have been, in sync. And I will never forget the team we had in 92, which was a mostly defense. Saban is a defensive coach. He is good at what he does. I'd like to see him focus more on his defense and see if he can hire people to put a good offense together. Sullivan, Beasley and Sullivan. The day we see players play like Pat Sullivan, it was just unbelievable. You know, them two, when he threw the ball, it was like so sync, it's unbelievable. You knew it was in the air, and he laid one up. You knew who it was going to. And I don't know how Beasley could get in places that he got into. And one of the most prolific persons to catch balls over his shoulder while running at full speed and just be so coordinated. Running backs, gosh, once again, you got some that are very fluent. You got some, I see more power runners we have today. You know, there's not a fluent movement, so to speak, with a lot of them. You got a few exceptions to the rule. But what I call fluent, and give you an example of both power and fluent, is one of my favorites. I hated the events that took place with him, but still, Berkeley Morse. He could hit you, and if he couldn't hit you hard enough to move you out of the way, he had such a way of bouncing off and rolling off and just keeping up his speed.
And we got to run to the break, James. Good call there. Beasley and Sullivan, of course, they're two of three Auburn jerseys that have been retired, the other being Bo Jackson. But our condolences to the family of Pat Sullivan, passed away over the weekend after the Iron Bowl, died of cancer.
It's interesting that you bring that part up.
Yeah, passed away of cancer. Had it since 2003. So major loss in the Auburn community and for the state of Alabama. Coming back, we'll wrap up Mobile Mornings right here on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5.
You're so good to me, Dalton. Thank you.
The song
I was humming.
That you were humming.
So basically you were saying, we don't want your version.
No.
When I was little, people used to be so mean. If you were singing a song, they'd say, hey, who sings that song? You tell them, they say, keep it that way.
That's a really rude way to do it. I know on family trips, when I would start singing a song, the radio would come on very quickly. That's kind of my dad's way of saying, hey, shut up. Let's hear it from the real people.
Pipe it down back there.
Lots of news that we've been talking about through Mobile Mornings this morning. Oh, by the way, I'm Dalton Orwig, Kelly Finley with you on this Cyber Monday morning. Sean Sullivan will be back soon. But we've been talking about the future of Hank Aaron Stadium. What should be done? Should they bring in another minor league light team like the Atlantic League team that one of the businesses or one of the groups is proposing we bring into Hank Aaron Stadium, or keep it open for high school tournaments, concerts, things of that nature, or just let the lease run out. We've got 2 years to put a team in there, or the private owners of that land will be allowed to do with it as they please. We've got some good suggestions, Kelly. I haven't heard your suggestion before today. Maybe make a track there and host track meets. I know
invitationals,
James,
because you think about how many teams. I mean, you're talking at least 6 to 8 teams that could come in. And with that, that means hotel rooms are being, you know, booked, restaurants are full. I mean, it's a big win. And we're right here on the Gulf Coast. And with this great weather, you can have, you know, track meets, I mean, throughout the majority of the year. And for the hotter months, you can have them evening track meets. So everybody would win, I think. I just think it would be a big win because there's so many races involved in track. It's not just the 100. You've got the 100, the 400, the heptathlon. You have, you know, the high jump, the
discus,
the shot put. I just think it'd be big. I also want to add this, though. However you think that this should go, this is yet another reminder why you need to get involved in your local government. On Tuesdays, the city council meets. If you can't make it there, they're live online, so you can watch what's happening in city council. If you want to speak about the event, you can go that day, sign your name up, and speak on what matters to you. Too many times we have situations like this where we have comments after the fact when nothing can be done, and it's left up into the hands of other people who don't even live here.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that you are just being very attentive to what's going on.
Well said. Have your voice heard. And
yes.
I know James Engineer a few minutes ago, his suggestion of volleyball complex. The problem with that, you're competing against that new Foley Sports Entertainment Complex,
right.
Where, I mean, when it comes down to it and people decide whether to host their big volleyball tournament in Mobile or down in Foley, I hate to say it, but Foley's going to win that a lot of the time. But we're open to a lot of suggestions, and that's why we go to the phones right now and talk with Damon in Mobile. Hey, Damon.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to quickly say that, a lot of people don't know that there are 40 acres adjacent to the Hank Aaron Stadium that were part of the original lease. It's a 100-year lease, and they should use that for what they intended, which was a Mobile Sports Hall of Fame and any other type of facility they want to put there. Everybody wants to talk about destroying Hank Aaron Stadium and everything, but there's 40 acres that go along with that have never been used.
And that would be good because we've had so many athletes come from our area, baseball, football. I mean, name a sport, but baseball and football specifically, we've had so many that came from Mobile. And then you got Hank Aaron's childhood home right there, too. And if we lose the stadium and don't put something in its place that is kind of sports-specific, we're losing out on a great piece of history right there.
Absolutely. I just wanted to point out that I was looking online, I was researching Satchel Paige, and a couple of years ago, somebody found film of him pitching at an exhibition game right after he won the World Series. They said that's the only piece of film of him pitching, and the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences voted that as one of the top 10 most historic pieces of film in their library.
Oh, wow.
So someone as significant as that has no place that people can come and see his home and other people around, all the other great athletes like Jake Peavy and, the Snake and all the great athletes from Mobile.
Hey, well said. Thanks, Damon, for the call. Great suggestion there.
I love learning from our listeners, for sure.
We've got the smartest listeners on the coast.
Hello. I would love to talk to Hank Aaron. And see.
And he's actually backing both of these proposals. He's on board with, whichever one wins out. Hank Aaron said he'd be happy to put his name right there alongside him.
Good to know.
So very cool. And he's right. Satchel Paige, just an outstanding athlete. But even the current athletes who are playing as we speak, Mark Barron, who's on the Pittsburgh Steelers now, last hour we talked about he was named the National Football League Players Association Community MVP because he came back down, as he's done the last three or four years, and gave out turkeys. This year he gave out 1,500 turkeys, but he, along with so many other athletes from our area, do so much to give back. Maybe Damon's onto something there. Have a sports kind of Hall of Fame, not a Hall of Fame, but a museum there dedicated to our athletes from our area. All right, we're wrapping up Mobile Mornings on this Cyber Monday morning, and you know how I like these kind of wacky polls?
Yes.
That these pollsters go out and get, and not talking political polls here, but what you do when you're visiting families' homes or friends' homes, and this is kind of a disconcerting poll to me. So, you go spend the night with somebody or over the holidays you go stay with family. They polled people here and asked them about what they do when they go to the bathrooms of their hosts and what is okay for you to use if the host left it in the bathroom. 51% of people said that it's acceptable to use your host's shampoo if it's left there in the bathroom. Maybe you're left out on a lurch, you forgot to bring your own shampoo. 51% say it's acceptable. Also, 51% say it's acceptable to use your host's toothpaste. Okay.
Yes.
Only 44% said they would use their host's conditioner. 38% their lotion. 37% have no problem using their host's mouthwash. Go down the line. 28% toner. Not sure.
Well, yes, for your face.
Okay.
That's for your face.
27% under
eye
cream.
Like sea breeze.
21% said they would use someone's toothbrush.
That's disgusting.
If they needed to.
But your host, they're good hosts. They put all that out there for you to use. If they didn't want you to use it, they'd hide it and put it in their room.
And listen to this. 60% say it's fine to go through your host's medicine cabinet.
What is this, a Southwest commercial? Not going anywhere.
All right, we'll do it all again tomorrow morning. Mobile Mornings here on FM Talk 106.5.
Ciao.